Hi, this is Dr. Mike Crivetti from Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And can't believe it, it's podcast number 20. That means great things keep happening to us over and over again. And this time, we got Dr. Dylan Rogers. Dylan's the newest, or should I say Dr. Rogers, I apologize, is the newest member of the Crivetti Orthopedics team and family. And this is his first podcast ever. But let's see how you do. Say hello.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thanks, Dr. Crivetti.
There you go. You're off.
Yeah, I know. Look at that.
All the butterflies are out. He's ready to go. But Dylan's awesome because he is born and raised in Vegas. We all know how unusual that is. And I think it all goes back to his military parents who are, sounds like they were just Las Vegas forever. Tell us where you were born. Put it out to the
Vegas
folks.
Yeah. Born and raised here at Nellis Air Force Base. My parents were Air Force veterans, and then they got out and they joined, you know, the police department. So my mom was on Metro for about 7 years, and my dad was a corrections officer. And then my stepdad ended up coming into the picture, and he was a Metro police officer as well and homicide detective. So been here, yeah. Well, grew up from, you know, birth till 18 years, and I decided to get out of Dodge and had to leave town. But, you know, happy to be back.
You know, honestly, it's not only do we love Las Vegas people, but you know, Metro's our baby around here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
From the days of our governor and Lombardo, and moving forward, we've always been friends of Metro. We love taking care of the police.
Oh, know? Yeah.
We definitely bleed blue around here, for sure. I think it's awesome. You know, you went off to college, and when I was learning about you, before you came, of course.
Yeah.
Now I feel like you're a brother. But back then, was you played baseball. Tell us about that little school, though. You played at Oregon, right?
Yeah. Played at a little school in Southern Oregon.
Do you play inside up there?
No. No, I wish. Especially coming from Vegas. We were spoiled growing up. You don't stop playing. We had actually played during my freshman year. We actually had a game during a blizzard. I was playing first base. You could barely see the ball. But it was a great experience. You know, met some great lifelong friends and learned a lot of lessons and, you know, a lot about just being a member of a team and being, you know, responsible and accountable. And that, you know, spilled over into medical school and then, you know, residency and fellowship and now how I practice and just kind of interact with people.
I can remember back when I was in Jersey, I also played some baseball. And I used to, I tell you, the March games, when we started early in March.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing stung hands.
Oh my gosh.
Like a ball coming off that bat.
Yeah. And I got lucky that I played first base, and then my sophomore year, I had some, history I caught in high school, and our starting catcher became ineligible. So my coach was like, well, Dylan, here, let's get you behind the plate. And so, you know, taking a couple of 90-mile-an-hour fastballs off the thumb is not a fun thing to do, but it was fun. I had a great time, and definitely, you know, grew a little bit tougher playing baseball in the Northwest, for sure.
Well, let's see what made you tougher, because you thought, I'm definitely leaving Oregon. I'm going to the sunshine, the warmth. I'm going to go sit on the beach, and you went to Michigan.
Yep, yeah.
So
Motor City for 4 years, yeah. Definitely had a good experience there, and, you know, we'll say that I was following my wife, you know. She is also a physician.
Smart man.
Yeah, you know, she's a dermatologist, so she told us where we needed to go, and I listened to her, and it all worked out great.
Well-trained. You're well-trained, much like myself, after 35 years. But so get back to the Michigan.
Yeah.
You did this residency. You did your medical school. You did your residency. Now, here's where we meet.
Yeah.
Right? You're taking care of all these sports teams.
Yeah.
But when I look at all of them, like, you cover every sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you covered – what sports did you cover up there?
So when I was in fellowship, we covered – I mean, we had high schools, we had colleges, we had semi-professional teams, and we had professional teams. So when I was a fellow, I was personally responsible. I had two of my own high schools that the athletic trainers, I was the go-to guy.
And every sport?
Every sport.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah. So one of them was a smaller school, so probably 600 students, but they were required to play a sport. So that turned into 600 athletes. And then another school is 2,400 kids, you know, probably.
Wait, I love this school.
Yeah.
600 kids and they had to play a sport?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, Detroit Country Day back.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great experience. They had
there's
a really cool setup.
It.
Yeah,
that's
small
fantastic.
School. And then, so I had another school. So covered those. Covered Division II, Wayne State. So covered all of their athletes there. Went to all the football games, basketball games, you know, made
it. Then you got to the pros.
And then we got to the pros, right? So we got to work with the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Pistons.
I saw that.
The Pistons minor league team.
What are you the Lions had? You probably didn't have those years.
No, well, so lucked out. I mean, that was the year that they missed the playoffs by one game and they spoiled Aaron Rodgers' last home game, right? And so that was, it was cool to see them start off slow, but then really turn it around, and then got to, you know, help out with the physicals for the guys this past year, you know, coming into their NFC Championship game run, and that was a cool thing to see, for sure.
Of all the sports that you covered, I'm always amazed, because I'll tell you mine, but all the sports that you covered, what was your favorite to cover?
Hockey.
you said the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. You said the same thing I said. Not that I disliked any of them, to be honest, but when it came to, you know, stitching faces between periods and dudes that just really loved each other.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I used to be in the locker room and there'd be a fight on the ice because I took care of the ECHL Bombers, and there'd be a fight. And after I'd cover both teams when I was the doc, right? So after the game was over, this guy comes walking, the guy he fought from the other team.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, "Bro, that was a great punch. Look, you split my eye open here." Yeah. I was like, "Who are these
different breed?" And you know, when a hockey player comes to you for something, that you got to take it seriously, right? They're tough people. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of action. So
yeah, I learned how to move stitches real quick.
Oh yeah.
Before becoming a surgeon, it was a nice real quick.
It's always the first question, like, "How can you come back this period? Are you gonna get him back?" Or you know, when, you know, the coaches always want to know, like, "He's coming back this game, right?" Like, yeah, we'll get him there. So
you got out of fellowship, and we finally got you back to some sunshine.
Yeah.
No beach yet, but we got you back to some sunshine.
Yeah.
And coming home must have been just awesome.
Yeah.
What made it the best?
Honestly, it's just being around family. I mean, you know, I grew up here. I still have my my mom, my stepdad, you know, two younger sisters that are in college now, aunts, uncles. I've got like eight cousins. They're all around. I got to bring two of my own kids back home now, and just seeing my kids grow up with a large family and having, you know, Sunday grill outs and pool days and, you know, seeing all the kids playing together just made it totally worth it.
And I'll tell you, there's two kids, right? Three and just about one. But I'll tell you what, as being a grandpa, one, I'm happy you're in the family because that gives me pseudo-grandchildren. But second, I can imagine how your mom and stepdad feel. Getting to see those babies every day or anytime they want,
100%.
Per se, right?
Yeah.
Kind of changes the ball game a little bit.
Absolutely. And that's what we wanted, you know, our kids to grow up around that big family. And it was tough being in Michigan for the first couple of years with our son because, you know, our parents would fly out, you know, as soon as they could, you know, every so often,
every couple months.
But, you know, we were also in residency and fellowship, so it wasn't the, you know, we were pretty busy, but it was nice to come home for sure.
Let's talk about your practice because this is, you know, this is going to be your next many, many years as I creep into my 25th year. Hopefully you'll be around quite as long as I have or even longer. But you're a non-operative guy, which I think is such a neat compliment to our practice because you do the stuff that keeps them away from guys like me, right?
Yeah.
We're conservative, and so am I. You know that.
Yeah,
and you know
sure.
how much I believe in non-operative treatment. But some of the coolest things you do with an ultrasound.
Yep.
I was too old to learn that. No new tricks for this dog. But and then the injection therapy is just amazing.
Yeah.
And then you have this new thing called TenJet. You've got this thing called Shockwave. Start telling me about the ultrasound-guided treatment of sports injuries, because I think that is something nobody around here does probably as good as you're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's really exciting.
And because, I mean that in town.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in this practice.
Yeah, yeah. And ultrasound has been a passion of mine since medical school. I mean, I remember day one, week one in anatomy, I was learning. I did the kind of accelerated course, and part of our anatomy training was to learn how to identify things with ultrasound. And so it's just kind of part of my curriculum growing
like
up.
Like non-invasive, immediate result, diagnosis from an ultrasound, which...
And the nice thing is you can get both a static image and look at it, but then you get the dynamic image, right? So if you have someone that's concerned, you know, baseball player with a UCL or a Tommy John injury, right? You can actually move them through valgus stress to see is there gapping at a certain point that you might miss on an MRI, right? So it's kind of a cool feature of ultrasound. And then, You know, using it for injections, you can, again, identify exactly where you want to go. And the accuracy improves to 100%, right? Because you know where that needle is at.
Because you know exactly where
you are. And I know exactly where I'm putting the medication.
And I'm sure patients appreciate that when you're not doing the pokerina,
exactly.
Right? And they're super happy because you're right in the spot. You know, somehow just knowing you're right in the spot makes you tolerate the injection better.
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this new 10-jet and shock wave, because getting rid of tennis elbow, right? My wife's
my gosh.
Tennis player.
Yeah.
Oh boy, let me tell you something. You know, you see the ice come out, the arm on the pillow.
Yeah.
I sleep in the other room.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal when she gets this tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, all these things that you don't want to go to surgery, right?
Yeah.
It seems crazy to go to surgery for them. So this new treatment, tell us about.
So Shockwave is a non-invasive treatment, right? So there's no cutting, there's no needles. It's a machine that you apply to the outside of the skin, and it sends high energy waves to the area of wherever that either, you know, some of those micro tears that sometimes you get partial tears. And essentially what you're trying to do is just disturb the blood flow in that area to try and get it to really just kind of bleed into that area to then develop more healing and bring growth factors. Similar to when we do, you know, PRP or, you know, an autologous blood injections, right? We're just trying to stimulate some sort of inflammation to actually help with the healing process. So that's the Shockwave. Now, 10-jet kind of takes it to another level, which is a really cool device where using ultrasound, you make a small incision, just kind of like a little bit of a stab wound after numbing them up, of course. And then you insert a large needle under the ultrasound guidance and kind of scoop out that area of that thick mucoid tendon that you would do with an open debridement, right? If you go in there and open it up and you're looking and you're kind of poking around to see, hey, where's this tendon? You know, where is the tearing at? Where is that kind of hypervascularity, where
it's
mucoid
tendon. Amazing. It's amazing. You can see that tissue.
Yeah.
Because we know what normal looks like.
Yep.
And then you're looking at it, you're going, well, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And just using that high pressure
to
remove it was pretty, just cool to watch, right?
To do. 100%. Yeah.
And nice way not to go to surgery.
Absolutely.
Although there is a little stab, I still feel like it's a non-operative formal release, formal procedure.
For sure,
to get something better.
And the recovery is a little bit quicker because of that.
For sure.
So usually, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, people are feeling a lot better. Still have them usually do physical therapy. But then, you know, in about 3 months, people are back to doing what they want to do, which is, you know, probably around the same time frame. But I think just the upfront, those first couple of weeks, that first 6 to 8 weeks, they're a little less stiff because things haven't been manipulated as much, right? I let them move a little bit quicker because I didn't have to, you know, make a huge incision and worry about my incision healing and all of that type of stuff. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So the big question as we wrap up your first podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Big question, right? Graham's going to play sports.
Yeah.
All right. Addie's going to play sports.
Yeah.
What sports Graham playing?
Oh, man.
What sports Addie playing?
You know, for Graham, you know, obviously they can play whatever they want.
Okay.
I played football, basketball, baseball all growing up.
Same.
Played baseball in college, but my favorite sport to play was probably actually basketball. It's probably my worst sport because, you know, I was a 6'2 power forward, a little undersized, couldn't really dribble, but I could rebound and play in the paint. But if, you know, whatever Graham wants to play, my wife was a great soccer player. So, you know, I think he might play some soccer. I think he's going to be a good, you know, he's already dribbling the ball out. I'll have to show you a video, but we went out to the park and he's just running around with the soccer ball like it's nothing. I'm like, man, I'd probably trip on myself at this point.
I don't think so. I think coming from parents, played some pretty high level baseball. Pretty high level soccer.
Yeah.
I think the kid's already on his way to stardom, but
I get the
benefits to being around when it happens. So
yeah.
Thanks so much for your first podcast.
Yeah,
I think
well,
it went great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Thanks,
cool.
Dylan.